Good morning. I'm Matt Huggins with the Oakland Church of Christ, and it's my honor to share with you a brief message from God's Word each morning this week. You know, from time to time when we're referring to someone that is just a good, down-to-earth person, we'll say of that person that they are the salt of the earth. That idiom, of course, was originally coined by Jesus of Nazareth in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. So this week, we will discuss what Jesus truly meant when he called his disciples the salt of the earth, and how we too can become the salt of the earth in our time. Let's begin this morning by reading Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt is an amazing item. It, throughout history, has been used for currency. Wars have been fought over deposits of salt. During World War II, salt was used as a reward to certain native groups to induce them to hunt for downed U.S. aircraft. It is estimated that there are over 1,400 uses for salt. Salt, ultimately, is a necessity to life. During the Napoleonic Wars, French troops died, bleeding to death, for they lacked a sufficient quantity of salt to coagulate their blood. The Roman author Pliny said that without salt, human life cannot be sustained. And we see the importance of this element of salt all the way back in Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13 under the Old Covenant, in which the Israelites were commanded that with all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Salt was used with all offerings as semblance of the salt of the covenant of God. In Numbers chapter 18 and verse 19, the Lord tells Aaron, "All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you." And so it is a symbol in the old covenant of an everlasting commitment between God and the people of Israel. Jesus told his disciples that they were the salt of the earth. He was giving them a high compliment in that they were an indispensable necessity to the world. Christ likened himself to other necessities, the light of the world, the bread of life, the water of life, things man cannot live without. So he makes a similar statement about salt, an indispensable item, which showed the disciples' worth and usefulness upon the earth. When Christ said, "You are the salt of the earth," he wanted us to see and feel our usefulness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." God wants us to be useful in his service. Think of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, where the one talent man was deemed to be worthless because he was not profitable. The loss of a Christian by his backsliding into the world is a costly and immeasurable great loss. In Luke 15 and verse 10, Jesus said, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And as we begin our discussion of salt, of being the salt of the earth, we understand that to be the salt of the earth, we must be useful in the kingdom of God. I thank you for listening this morning and hope you'll join us each morning the rest of the week as we continue to discuss being the salt of the earth.